Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The big dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin, thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, this can't stop in the star! This...
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for Roman Reigns' heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey guys, and welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. It is Friday. For those of you that are Monday through Friday warriors, it is the weekend, and hope everyone has a great one. And again, this is all about WWE. I also do a fitness version. It's called Matt's Madness. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, all of that. And this is more focused on wrestling. So if you'd like to, go ahead and subscribe on iTunes and rate and review. It really does help me out, and I would appreciate it very much. You can also head to WWEpodcast.com or mattsmadness.com. On both of those, you'll be able to find all of my information, everything there for your listening pleasure. I'll be also soon be doing a video version of this show, but not exactly just videotaping me recording this, but more of like a wrestling review show, but making it, as I said, I think last week I mentioned to you guys, I'm going to be doing a little more high-end stuff. And so maybe that'll be coming down the line soon. You guys can also just check my Twitter feed. That has all the information that you need. And it's the Twitter handle is the WWE Podcast. And all of those words have underscores between them. That's how you know it's me. And so one last quick announcement. Those of you that are interested in any kind of fitness programs, maybe starting out, hey, the weather's getting warmer and you want to get your ass in shape, let me help. I'll be doing a Shakeology Shake-Up Challenge very shortly. And those of you that are interested in joining, please do so. I really do encourage you to join my group. Doesn't cost you anything to join the group, I promise you. Obviously, if you purchase Shakeology, I mean, that's just, you know, the expense of the product, but that doesn't go to me. So anybody who's interested in joining, please absolutely reach out to me at the WWE Podcast, or you can also email me at info@WWEpodcast.com. So let's get into Raw and SmackDown. I'm going to jump right in. I do not have a lot of time today, but I do want to talk about Raw quickly. You know, backstage at the beginning of Raw, we see Dean walking around and conveniently gets a phone call from Raw as Raw starts. And it's from Kurt Angle. Ambrose says that Kurt called him and said he couldn't be there tonight, but he was going to be put in charge as acting GM. So Kurt waited until Raw began exactly to conveniently call the person who had the camera on them conveniently to say that they're not going to be there and just decide to make them the acting GM. There is just so much wrong with this, so much. And if I had more time today, I would break it down. I'm not going to do that today because of the interest of time, but just think about all of those factors going in. It is mind-bogglingly difficult to suspend your disbelief. Let's move along. Ambrose quickly interrupted by The Miz, and after he comes out and informs Dean that Stephanie also called him to tell him that he is going to be the co-acting general manager. So, Stephanie got wind of Kurt's decision, even though apparently it was Kurt's on-the-fly decision at the beginning of Raw, and Miz called, and Miz said he got a call from Stephanie. He's the co-acting general manager. Well, whatever. Ambrose extends his hand to Miz to work together tonight, and Braun Strowman's music hits. Thank you, Strowman Chance. I loved it. Thank you, guys. By the way, I love Strowman. I don't know about anybody else. He just feels like he's on his own level. Like he's not a part of the show. He's kind of like an invader that kind of goes by his own rules. He doesn't, even though he is scripted, we know this, he doesn't feel as such. That's why he stands out on top of his athleticism. He's solid on the mic. He's just believable. So obviously his injury is going to play a part in the next 4 to 6 weeks, however long he is out, to get an elbow injury repair surgery. I believe that is the timetable for his return, and hopefully that will be the case in time for Brock versus Braun. So, all right. He says he doesn't care who's in charge. He's going to get what he wants, and he took out the big dog at Payback. Lots of yes chants. But as long as Roman Reigns is still walking, he isn't finished with him. And he said that he's finished with him. When he's finished with him, he wants Brock Lesnar. Kalisto comes out and says he wants a match with Braun. He reluctantly agrees after saying he could beat him with one arm. That comes back to bite him after Ambrose says, okay, fine. You're going to be facing Kalisto tonight. And Ambrose still makes Miz versus Balor. Couldn't Miz just say no to this since he's the co-GM? I mean, every decision made by either guy could just be negated, right? It's difficult to believe when you're trying to watch a product that you know isn't reality TV, but you'd like it to be. So, all right, Miz versus Finn Balor was next. Miz throws Balor into the ref and then gets on the mic and says he is telling the ref to disqualify Balor. Ambrose restarts the match and bans Maurice from ringside. Balor quickly then beats the Miz clean. Not sure how I feel about this move to Raw from Miz. He's taken a step back from his SmackDown Live, I guess, aura, presence. He has really kind of regressed a bit, and that's a lot due to the booking and writing of his character, where on SmackDown Live he was, you know, in the top 4 or 5 guys, and on Raw he doesn't feel like that anymore, and they haven't booked him as such either, so I'm not enjoying The Miz as much as I have on SmackDown Live, but again, it's only been about a month, right? So we'll see. I'm going to give it a little more time, but what I've seen so far, it seems like he's regressing from a booking character standpoint. Mickey James and Bayley versus Alexa and Nia. Fast match with an odd ending. Bayley pins Alexa after she fell, I guess. I don't know. Nia beats up Mickey after the match, and this was just all about Nia Jax, who continues to just dominate even if she loses the match, and I'm for that. I don't think she's ready for the championship, and that is coming down the line, I'm sure, but she has some character development, obviously some in-ring things she can work on, but this was all about Nia in a lot of ways, and Alexa befriending her for her own benefit for the time being. So, Kalisto versus Braun. Told you I was moving fast today, guys. Kalisto versus Braun Strowman. Strowman at first says he doesn't accept the match, and Dean can shove it. I guess this was just kind of a last-minute attempt to get the crowd against Strowman because Reigns is coming out. But he then attacks Kalisto before Roman Reigns' music hits to deafening boos. Thank you. Thank you to the audience for that one. Reigns hits 3, count them, 3 Superman punches as Roman. And by the way, that's just a piece of why the fans are rejecting this character, but that's just a small sliver of the repetitiveness of his moves, and he has to like lock and load his fists like some kind of cartoon character, and I'm starting to get annoyed. So I'm going to stop before I rant for 20 minutes that I don't have. So he hits those Superman punches and then slams his shoulder into the ring post and hits Strowman with a chair. Broken ribs and internal injuries apparently are immune to, or Roman is immune to these injuries. Because if he actually had those injuries, I am telling you right now, if anybody has ever experienced a bruised rib, much less apparently multiple broken ribs, it would not be possible to do this, or at least in extreme pain. So it's just some of these injuries, they could tone down a bit just to make it more believable when they return in 2 weeks that, my God, they're saying that Braun Strowman on TV has a torn rotator cuff. Does anybody know how long the recovery for a torn rotator cuff is? 6 months minimum. And they're saying Strowman's going to be out for what, 4 weeks? So, anyway. Alrighty, let's move along here. Sheamus and Cesaro versus Enzo and Cass for the tag team champion, number one contendership for the tag team titles. No real heels in this first match here with Cesaro and Sheamus, both from European countries. Enzo taps from the sharpshooter from Cesaro. Rhino and Slater come out next to get beat down on their way to the ring, and then Slater beaten pretty quickly, followed by Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, who lose in, my God, a minute or two. The Golden Truth follow, and they put up a good fight, which was probably the high spot of their tag team run so far. It was believable in the fact that the announcers positioned it as such because Not that Gold and Truth are on equal footing with Sheamus and Cesaro if they were both fresh, but the fact that they were have already gone through multiple teams and were in the match for, 20 minutes before they came in made it believable that, hey, maybe Truth and Goldust could pull this off, but they ended up losing, and the Hardys come out as Sheamus and Cesaro retreat. So good stuff here. Rollins and Samoa Joe. I thought this was a really nice match here, although it felt kind of like they gave away a pay-per-view match on Raw. The turnbuckle pad comes off, and Joe intentionally gets disqualified by slamming Rollins' head into the exposed turnbuckle, then does it again and puts him in the Coquina clutch. Nice heat again for Joe. I am very excited for a match that's not even happening yet, and that is Brock Lesnar versus Samoa Joe. If they continue to build Joe correctly, it is going to be a hot ticket to get. And I hope that if indeed Brock is gone because his contract expires at WrestleMania 34, we somehow between now and then get Brock versus Joe. Or if he's renewing, obviously you can do it after WrestleMania, but I would love to see it. And but by the way, I've never been more excited as I have for Brock's return, because he has some really fresh opponents that are on fire. I shouldn't say on fire, because that's a little bit extreme, that are heating up and are well-positioned to be believable opponents for Brock Lesnar in Braun Strowman, obviously, and Samoa Joe down the line. So, typically when Brock comes back, it's like, oh, he's facing Rollins. Okay, well, you know that he's going to overpower Rollins. He can't play the power game with Braun Strowman. So that's where it's a bit interesting. Strowman obviously is the first in line, but Joe has to be on Vince's watch list for one of the potential opponents. All right, Bray Wyatt versus Dean Ambrose. Miz blasts Ambrose from behind with the Intercontinental belt. Bray hits Sister Abigail for the win, and Miz beats down Ambrose and says that next week he will once again become the Intercontinental champion. So I enjoyed that. I think that got a little bit of heat back for Miz, as I said at the beginning of the show here. He feels a little bit underwhelming since coming to Raw. So good job there in getting a little bit of heat back anyway. SmackDown Live. Yeah, I'm not messing around today, guys. SmackDown Live. Nice video recap of Jinder and Randy's journey the last few weeks, getting heat. And Randy says he didn't lose at Payback because of Bray or the refrigerator, but because Jinder stuck his nose where it didn't belong. And where he is from, he actually has to win a match to become champion, kind of addressing the criticism that Jinder Mahal has barely won a match to become a number one contender. So he says that he will, Jinder interrupts and says that he already took promotional pictures of him with the championship, shows them on the Titantron, and says that he will take the championship back to his people in India. If you didn't think that Jinder getting the push has anything to do with India as a market that WWE is trying to penetrate, you got your answer on SmackDown Live. He says that Backlash and New Age will begin. Kevin Owens interrupts. Jinder's voice was obviously really hoarse, by the way. He wasn't his usual intense self. I think, I don't know if he's a cold or a sore throat. I don't know, but it definitely was a two or three notches down for his typical intensity on the mic. And says that nobody cares about India or the House of Horrors, but don't get too excited. Nobody cares about England either. Love it. Love it. Love it. Because nobody really did care about the House of Horrors. Nobody cares about India that's in the UK, typically. I mean, especially if you have a character that's a heel from India, you're not going to care about it. And so when the crowd cheered, Kevin Owens geniusly said, well, don't get too excited. Nobody cares about England either. Classic. Loved it. He says that he ended Chris Jericho's career, and he plans on ending AJ Styles at Backlash, and that his next destination is that of the WWE Championship. And then repeats it in French. He says, because he can. I love Kevin Owens here. He gets it. And I really enjoyed that. I also enjoyed the fact that multiple superstars are talking about the WWE Championship, or the Universal Championship for that matter. Seth Rollins talked about facing Brock Lesnar and wanting a shot at the Universal Championship last week after beating Samoa Joe at Payback. You know, you have Braun Strowman after Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. You have Kevin Owens talking about it, about the WWE Championship on SmackDown Live. So the guys, or at least for this week, they have many of the superstars that typically wouldn't be talking about the top belt as a focal point of the show. When you have multiple guys even already holding championships after the top belt, guess what it does? It makes the championships mean something instead of just only two people on the roster in a feud over that championship at the time caring about it. So I liked it. Good stuff here. So let's keep going here. He says that AJ Styles follows and says, this isn't Backlash. This is SmackDown Live, the house that AJ Styles built. And by the way, one quick note, I like that AJ Styles stayed on SmackDown Live after the shakeup because it gives SmackDown Live an identity. When you think of SmackDown Live, the cornerstone, the first name that comes to mind most likely is AJ Styles. I really enjoy the fact he has become the identity and the image in the face of SmackDown Live. So that's a testament to really WWE booking and AJ Styles himself. Baron Corbin comes out and Sami Zayn attacks him from behind. A brawl breaks out as the three heels and the three faces face off. I like how Jinder escapes the DDT from Orton, by the way, via the Singh brothers. As I said a couple of weeks ago, they remind me of J&J Security with Seth Rollins when he was with the Authority. They're the slimy creatures that just pull him out from any kind of harm, and not seeing the DDT on Jinder, I love it because it makes me want to see it actually happen. A six-man tag is made, obviously, for the main event. We get Becky and Natalya. Becky loses to Natalya as the welcoming committee continues to roll. Backstage, they all argue who's responsible for Becky losing, and Becky says they need to They need to outbond the welcoming committee's bond, and they will show that at Backlash in a six-woman tag team match. I don't know what they're doing with Charlotte here. I think Charlotte is possibly going heel again. She's kind of a tweener right now. Maybe they were testing how the crowd would react to a soft face turn. And I think that you could very well see Charlotte go full on heel and turn on the team at Backlash. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be against it. She's an awesome heel. And the only other thing is it would be a imbalance of heels and faces. You'd have four against two. So you'd have to have somebody else come on the roster and maybe even it up a little bit. Or maybe switch somebody from the heels side. That's possible too. Fashion Files, they come across face paint, and that's Breezango coming across face paint and point to the Uggos, wondering which one is wearing it. And Fandango says that it doesn't matter who is who. It's funny because it's true. Like when they're in the ring, you don't care who's who. But they come across a door where they hear grunting, and it's the Ascension. They say they have to reopen that case. I'm enjoying it. It's giving them an identity too. I think that the Fashion Files is a staple. I hope it continues. It's giving them something to sink their teeth into and the fans to understand when what they are. I'm enjoying it more than I thought I would. Luke Harper versus Eric Rowan. Rowan beats Harper with a ring around the Rosie power slam. Zero reaction for this guy. And maybe they need to redo his music, his entrance, something. It's difficult to get into Eric Rowan. No build for this match. Not really sure where it's going. Ziggler confronts Shinsuke. Ziggler says he's pathetic for calling himself the artist and he never needed any of us. Runs everyone down and calls out Shinsuke. The crowd loses its mind for his entrance, obviously. Ziggler says, enough of the theatrics, it's time to put up or... And Shinsuke grabs a mic and says, shut up. Says that, you want to see what I can do? I'll show you right now. They tease a match for for SmackDown. Obviously, that's not going to happen. If you watch any kind of WWE programming, that's not going to happen. And Ziggler says, no, we do this when I say so. And he's going to expose him at Backlash. Ziggler attacks him, but Shinsuke gets the advantage as Ziggler retreats. So this is better than last week. Shinsuke has to obviously be more than the entrance, which is a superstar entrance. It's a rock star entrance. I think that the WWE audience who hasn't been exposed to him, even from New Japan or even NXT, is going to get a very good flavor and taste of what Shinsuke can do, especially a guy in the ring with his dance partner of Ziggler. Ziggler can make anybody look good, and it's a perfect opponent for his first program. And by the way, I would assume that we get Lana and the New Day that are returning after Backlash. I know Rusev is coming next week, but Lana is apparently just going to kind of be separate from Rusev, doing her own chair dancing thing, and New Day are probably coming after Backlash. And I know Kofi's injured, but it's good that New Day took some time off. It kind of repackages them, give the audience time to kind of miss them. So, all right, the Ascension versus Breezango. Breezango wins, and the Usos come out, and they let us know how many days until Backlash. I forget what did they say? I forget. It was 11, 13? I don't know. I forget how many days. I couldn't remember. Maybe if they mentioned it more than once, I would have been able to remember how many days. Mojo Rawley giving a tour to some school kids. Yeah, I just put WTF. I don't know. That's literally my notes. All right, so we get to the main event, the six-man tag. Zayn, Orton, and KO versus Jinder, Baron Corbin. Wow, I do not have the last guy on here. I do not know why I did that. So the match ends with an RKO on Kevin Owens, but Jinder takes advantage. Oh, no, I said it. I have an RKO. Owens, Mahal, and Corbin. I can't read. So Jinder takes advantage and hits the Cobra Clutch Slam on Orton for the win. Yes, Jinder wins. It's the right move. You can't tell me you don't want to see Jinder get his ass kicked at this point and get an RKO. WWE is doing a good job here. They are building heat for Jinder. I know some people are still underwhelmed by Jinder Mahal. I love it. I think Jinder is doing a great job, and I'd love to see him get his ass kicked. How do I know that WWE's doing their job right? Because I want to see him get his ass kicked. That's the bottom line, and I'm enjoying Jinder so far. All right, guys, quick and dirty, thank you for joining me. You can follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. Again, video reviews are going to be coming up soon for all of these shows. And you can also write me at info@WWEPodcast.com if you want to join the Shake Up Shakeology group that will be starting soon. So, guys, I'll be back later this week. Until then, everyone have a great weekend and take care.